Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Well, who wants to be first on the radio tonight? 133-882, thanks to Polaris. Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. We can tell you, hot off the press, you just heard it from John Nicholls, that Heath Chapman finally is a Rising Star nominee. I've felt that there's been probably three or four other games, including round one against Adelaide, when he had the decisive spoil that he could have easily got a nomination back in round one. But, Skeet, good to see that he's finally got the accolade that I believe he deserves. How are you, mate?
Yes, good day, Carl. Great to be with you. And Friday night special by the Dockers, they were terrific. No surprises, the Eagles struggled up at the Gabba. But Heath Chapman, as we've mentioned, over the past year or so, of course, he was injured for most of last season with that shoulder, but he's come back this year, looks really composed and just part of that defensive part of the Dockers that looks so easily able to transfer his game from a half-back flanker running up the ground and providing so many options. So well-deserved to Heath Chapman. He's a quietly spoken young man, but he certainly deserves his position as a NAB Rising Star for 2022. And the question tonight, of course, this Hippie Club story's taken on a life on its own. And going back to your day, Carl, it was the Magnificent Seven. Now it's the Nightclub Seven, who've been hauled before the coals, and they've given themselves a fine, a suspended fine for some, $5,000, half of which suspended. Some are saying the Eagles have gone too hard. Some have said they should have been sacked. I'll tell you what, neither line of thinking to mine is completely on the money, but there you go.
Well, look, I think the back page of the paper today, Seven Deadly Sinners, is going a little bit too far, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they've gone to a nightclub. If this was a non-COVID world, we wouldn't even be talking about it, right? They haven't done anything wrong. They have essentially gone against what the club told them, and that was to not go to crowded places. There was no definitive definition of not going to a nightclub. It was just don't go, be smart, don't go to crowded places. Now, you know, a crowded place can be a shopping centre, Skeet, for example. So, you know, you order in or you get it delivered or you get Uber Eats or you don't go to a restaurant. You know, there's plenty of places that are crowded that would fit under that definition. But at the end of the day, they've got the penalty that they have. I'll keep my powder dry until we have a chat to Trevor Nisbet, who's going to join us straight out of the first break. But I want to hear from the people and see what they think about that. The other thing I want to talk about, Skeet, is Freo and Andrew Brayshaw. And I wrote a column in the Sunday Times yesterday around the Brownlow medal, and I felt that Maxi Gawn has done enough. Like, when I wind back the clock to, say, big fellas like Scott Wine and, of course, the late and great Jim Steins, who won the medal in 1991, I felt that Max Gawn is playing as well as those two individuals, in my opinion. And there's no reason why he couldn't be in calculations, given how well Melbourne are going. But they also have two blokes like Clayton Oliver and Christian Petrarca right up there. Clayton Oliver got 9 coaches' votes on the weekend. Of course, you've got the defending champion in Lachie Neale, who's picked up 7 votes in the coaches' votes on the weekend, who's up there rated by the coaches in the top 5 right now. You've got Andrew Brayshaw, who gets the 10 votes from the coaches in the match against North Melbourne on the weekend. So he has certainly been and should be talked about. And Patrick Cripps, he got 8 votes. The 10 votes went to a bloke by the name of Charlie Curnow. But, I mean, Patrick Cripps could easily get the votes because he's under the umpire's nose right now, Skeet.
Yeah, he's definitely leading the Brownlow in my mind. That's just from what I've seen. He's been the standout player. He mentioned all those others, Lachie Neale. By the way, Max Gawn, don't be surprised if he's not coming across to Perth this week. Just get the, from what we've read out of Melbourne today, that he might even be just rested, and Luke Jackson could be the bloke that comes in and does the ruck work in this game against the Eagles on Sunday. So off the back of your praise of the big man, Max Gawn, let me just throw this at you and maybe the listeners. Who would you think, at their prime, a better ruckman? Max Gawn or Dean Cox? 133-882. Carl, do you have an opinion?
Well, Cox, straight off the bat.
Easily?
But the one thing that Max Gawn is now doing,
kicking goals,
is he's now become, well, he's kicking goals, but he's now become that ruck rover. He's averaging 21 disposals, and that's what Dean Cox was able to do as well, if you reflect back to, you know, the midfield chains that he was involved in, which has been my criticism of Nick Natanui. Great tap ruckman, but Cox was that. And then in the spread, and that's so important in linking up in chains, and that's where Jackson and guys like Tim English, who I've seen the news today that maybe he's getting closer to signing a deal with the Western Bulldogs. Well, that's not my information. My information is that he's still firmly in the frame for a move somewhere else. Now, if things go pear-shaped at the Western Bulldogs, which they look like they might, given their performance on the weekend, I mean, they're struggling. They've stagnated. Hawks are sliding. Adelaide are sliding. St Kilda are sliding. Richmond have improved. Port have improved. They've now won three in a row. Sydney have dropped one that they shouldn't have. Geelong are around the place. And there's four locks when it comes to, I reckon, the top four anyway. Melbourne, Freo, Brisbane and Carlton. Let's go to the phones. A couple of boys who regularly join this program. Muzz in Beckenham first. G'day.
Hey, g'day, boys. Cop your hands down, mate. Now, with the Hickey Cup 7, if I was coach, I think I'd probably say drop them for a couple of games at least, give them a fine, bring in the youngsters. The youngsters have played. The proof they want to be there, they've given it their all. Some of these senior players, I think they're probably resting the laurels a bit, but that's my thoughts, boys. What do you guys think?
Well, the players that we're talking about, they are young players, and they're not, I mean, at the moment, Carl, with their list as it stands, they just haven't had much wriggle room in terms of being able to afford to drop anyone. So it's not a case of picking and choosing. Dumb decision. We all know that. Carl, we've just spoken about this off air many times about the choices. But guess what? And I'll be totally honest here. I'm not about to throw the blokes under the bus because I'm 52 years of age and my wife still says I make some dumb decisions as well when it comes to coming home at the right time or doing this or that. So, look, it wasn't smart. It wasn't what you should do under the circumstances. But they are young blokes. And I think, as you say, the fine had to be applied by the Eagles to set an example. But, look, I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, and I mean, the calls for the West Coast Eagles CEO, Trevor Nisbet, to lose his job and Adam Simpson to lose his job and for them to be questioning the culture at West Coast. I mean, from my perspective, this has nothing to do with the reflection of culture at your football club.
No, nothing to do with it at all.
Right? Nothing to do with it. It is something that was simply... The boys played, for the most part, those guys that went out, played together in the waffle, and, you know, they want to have a couple of quiet ones, and that's the way that it goes, and they did. They didn't cause any trouble. The Richmond players were there. Nothing's been said about the Richmond players all being at the same place. It's only been because the West Coast Eagles are professional footballers and they're in the situation that they are. That's the difference.
Carl, let me ask you this. If the Eagles... Yes. And COVID's still here. If the Eagles were sitting, say, 6-2, would this be an issue? Let me just throw that at you.
As big an issue? It shouldn't be, but... Well, it shouldn't be, but it probably would be. Like, for me, like, we're pretty... You know, it's a pretty slim sort of... it's a pretty slim market here. You know, you've got 10 teams in Melbourne. Where it gets spread a bit more.
What about Jack Ginnivan, who went out after the Anzac Day match and had some beers with his mates, just got told off by the leadership group and, you know, just put your head in sun and away you go.
Yeah, and look, if West Coast had had more players to pick from, a fitter list, and weren't in the circumstance they are, in fact, our whole society, I mean, you don't have to look at the numbers, Skeet, they have gotten bigger, players have been warned to stay away from large gatherings, they've done the wrong thing, but anyway, Nizzy will come to us in a moment. Let's quickly go to Donna Spearwood ahead of the break. G'day, Donny.
Good evening, boys. Carl, Mark, I agree with you. I mean, what is it, criminal offence or something? No. I mean, if they're the players to pick from, I would drop them for 5 weeks, okay? Just send a message through. But to call for Nizzy...
But why would you drop them for 5 weeks, Don?
But just, you know, just to give them something, you know, well, by going to the next level, they'll lose their match payment and all that. But because... But what gets me, Carl, was young Nash and... what's his name? Dixon. They're given it. They got their second chance. Yeah, you would think they keep their noses clean and do everything right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they didn't do anything wrong, mate, in the first place. So got nothing to be ashamed of. The problem is that the way that has been dragged through the coals and the way that they've been portrayed is an absolute disgrace. I mean, to have the seven deadly sinners on the back of today's newspaper, I mean, that's toilet paper. That is toilet paper. So I'm not satisfied with the way it's been portrayed at all. So, you know, but that's not their fault. It's not the club's fault and now they've got to deal with it. They want to move on. We'll have a chat to Trevor Nisbet after the break at 17 after 6.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. What has certainly been a big issue, certainly in some media circles anyway, has been the West Coast Eagles. Time to dig deep on Sports Day with Digger West. And what has happened off the field has taken all the attention. Trevor Nisbet, the West Coast Eagles CEO, joins us here on Sports Day. Trev, welcome. How are you?
Not too bad, Carl. Thanks.
Nice to have you on the program. Now, look, we know that there's a few young players that have been to a nightclub, but thankfully they haven't done too much wrong other than not adhering to some guidelines. Can you take us through exactly what they were told and why they have been pinged the $5,000 today? Of course, $2,500 of that suspended.
Well, it was a specific guideline and it has been in place for a long period of time, but it was reiterated just before the weekend in question. So it was something they were well aware of, something they obviously didn't follow, and consequently they've received a penalty, which, you know, having spoken to all the players today, bar one, because as they're still in isolation. But having spoken to them all, they understand the circumstance and we're now moving forward.
Trevor, remorse factor amongst the players that you've spoken to? I presume they're embarrassed and feel a bit humiliated with back page, front page coverage?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. There is no hiding when you're on social media and you're going out and so on. So I guess the guys, you know, certainly their explanation to me was they didn't think it through at all. They made a terrible decision in their view and consequently a terrible decision in our view as well. And, you know, they get it. They're young people. They make mistakes, but we also can't allow it to go, I guess, you know, without a fine of some description, and we opted for the way we went about it. Some people don't agree. Some people will think it's not harsh enough. But in our circumstance, there wasn't an option to suspend or not have people available. So it's something we think we met some middle ground, and I'm sure we'll get some criticism from some circles, which we already have from the Players Association. But that comes with the territory of making these decisions.
Well, if COVID wasn't around, it wouldn't be an issue. No one to be talking about it. We wouldn't have seven deadly sinners on the back page of a newspaper. But unfortunately, it's exacerbated given the situation that the club finds itself in, Trev. And of course, you've got the longest injury list in history. There has been a number of issues when it comes to COVID. And sadly, we aren't like the East Close football clubs who went through this a long time ago. I mean, the Richmond players are all out there at the same nightclub. And of course, nothing gets said about Dion Prestia, who misses the game on the weekend through getting ill or an illness, but all the focus is on West Coast.
Well, it is, and for some, you know, for these circumstances, and rightly so, I mean, our performances have not been good, and we have copped a lot of criticism for those performances, and we've also copped some criticism for some things out of our control, but we're prepared to accept that, and there'll probably be some more pain to come before it gets better. But we're working on the things that we can control, Carl, and what we're trying to do is put in place a new strategy, which is what we'll follow through with, until we start to get some scoreboard pressure on the opposition. And at the moment, we can't do that. We're getting enough of the footy, but we just can't do what we need to do in moving the ball quickly and forward and so forth. But that will come in time, but there's a lot of work to do yet.
Trevor, when it comes to what the club is going through now, you've been at West Coast for such a long period of time. I mean, most recently, crisis-wise, in terms of team performance, 2010, Wooden Spoon territory. Now, people are saying it could take 5-6 years for the club to become competitive again, which I think is a stretch. But can you try at least compare the 2 years, 22 and 10, in terms of where the club's at and obviously various circumstances which are completely different?
Yeah, look, I think it's almost impossible, Mark. Our performance in 2010 was just all about on field and how we were playing. We were awful. This year's more about what's happened to us, and then we're playing poorly again. But they are certainly different circumstances. I wouldn't like to start comparing. We're in similar positions, but what these positions do is open up opportunities, and the opportunities are enormous for some of our young players. Unfortunately, on the weekend, we were able to see Cal Jamieson for the second time in his career to get a game, and he did some very, very good things in the game. We saw another waffle player, and he showed a lot of ability. We've played 43 players this year, and a number of them have shown glimpses of really good form. So from, you know, despair comes a number of opportunities, and those opportunities some players will take with both hands, and some certainly will.
Trevor, with the scoreline as it stands, bottom of the table, no surprise that only took a few weeks before some were calling for Adam Simpson's removal, Trevor Nisbet's removal, the board needs a shake-up, the whole club culture has gone pear-shaped. Some of us laughed at that, but that's the nature of the industry, isn't it?
Oh, it's fairly brutal, Mark, and some people don't recognise any history. They just go on what's happening as of today. I think we always reflect on how people, respond to situations that we're in, and we think our people are responding reasonably well. Albeit we'd like a healthy list so that we can improve our performance on field right now. That's going to still take a little bit of time, but our performances, we believe, will start to improve, and with the work that we're doing. And people will have to judge us on what we do going forward. And I guess in the end, it's up to our board, myself, Adam, and everybody else who's coaching and playing at this club to ensure that we keep moving forward. And that's what we aim to do. It is difficult. It's a brutal industry. And yes, I've heard the calls. I've got emails about my own position from members, and about Adam's position and others. And people are entitled to their opinion. We don't have to agree with everyone's opinion, and we'll keep moving forward as we do.
It's amazing what's happened, though. It's just incredible. I mean, from right back in the pre-season when Brad Shepherd sadly wasn't able to take his place in the season after succumbing to a concussion. You had all of your new players. Chesser breaks down after a minute and a half down there at Lathlane. Bazo has shin splints. Hoffey's hurt his back. Clarkey does his shoulder. There's four of your new kids. Look, in the mid-season draft, which is just around the corner, Trev, will you play? I mean, is there a chance here to, say, put a Jake Florenka, who I think's been a very, very good player. He's a little bit more mature. We look at a guy like Nick Martin, who's just done some wonderful things already over there at Essendon. Do you take a chance on a couple of these blokes and blood them? What do you do?
Well, I think there's a number of options. One is to look very closely at a mature age player in the mid-season draft, but also there are a number of players who missed out on selection last year that are running around both in Melbourne and in Perth that give you the chance to try someone else. And if that opportunity arises, we'll take that chance and we'll make some decisions in the coming weeks. It's not an easy discussion, and we're looking at some of our players already who may not even play a game this season because of injury. So they may become inactive. And if they are inactive, well, then we will participate in the mid-season draft. But that's subject to the doctor's approval and being ticked off by the AFL. But certainly there's a chance we will participate.
What about Oscar Allen, Nick Natanui? Can you envisage them playing this year again?
Yeah, well, we do, Mark. We certainly think they're making progress, albeit it's still slow, particularly with Oscar. But we're not prepared to play Oscar, given, you know, his value to the football club and for his own health and safety. he'd be keen to play as soon as he can, but we need to make sure that his foot's right before he plays. Nick's making terrific progress, so we're hopeful that Nicholas will be ready in 6 or 7 weeks. So that's sort of the progress and the timeline, but we're not sure on Oscar. We won't put a weeks on it until we're positive that he's going to make progress and be ready to play.
Hey, Niz, how do you respond to criticism about list management and the club's drafting over the past few years? Because there's been a bit of that in the media circles over the past month at least.
Yeah, well, I think you have to look at it in its entirety. Unfortunately, Dan Venables has gone down, and we would have loved Dan being with us. And I think the calls is, oh, well, you traded away all your picks for Tim. Well, we thought we were a genuine chance, and you make those decisions. And we think Tim is still a very good player for us and will be. I think you'll remember the headlines that when we did that trade, that was the best trade that was made in the history of the game at one stage. But when things don't go to plan, and you know, obviously losing, not getting Jared Brander to the standard that we wanted is a blow for us. But we haven't had a lot of top 10 picks because we've played in the finals. And when you play in the finals on a regular basis, you don't get many top 10 picks. And the calls that I've heard from Kane Corns and others that, oh, well, you should have a lot more top 10 picks over that period, I don't think he's thought it through. You only get the top 10 picks if you finish in the bottom eight, and we haven't done that on a regular basis.
Trev, thank you very much for joining us tonight here on Sports Day. Just one thing, there is tickets available, right? So for someone who wants to go along to the footy this weekend, we've got a state game that's going to be played prior as the curtain raiser, and it is Melbourne, and they are the defending champions, and it is going to be a huge contest for West Coast. But I think that there's this sort of feeling out there that there isn't tickets available. But if you go to Ticketmaster right now, I'm pretty sure you can buy some, can't you?
Oh, there's plenty of tickets, Carl. There's also tickets on resale, so there'll be lots of tickets. We want to get as many members along as we possibly can, have a look at some of the young guys that are playing, and also it's Melbourne. You're right. I mean, they are an outstanding team. We're looking forward to the challenge. I mean, it's massive, as we know, and it is a great opportunity to see how our guys hold up against the best team in the competition. So, look, I would urge everyone to get along if they can.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks very much, Carl. Thanks, Mark.
Good on you, Trevor Nisbet there. Thanks to Digging Deep is what great sports people do, just like the team at Digger West, the Earth Moving Attachment Specialist. How have you seen this play out, listeners? 1-3-8-82. It's been the hot topic. There's no doubt about that. Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company. You can taste that Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. There's been certainly plenty of barbs thrown from outside our environment. Interesting that Trevor mentioned Kane Corns in that little interview there. He has certainly been one that hasn't been scared to fire some shots from across the Nullarbor. I reckon he'd know a fair bit about what's going on over here, don't you, Skate?
Yeah, probably right. Look, this might sound really weird, but if I was at the West Coast Eagles now, this would be a really, not exciting time, it's a tough time, but this is when you find out who's got the hunger to get in the trenches and get your hands dirty and really make this club great again. And it's only been, what, 7 weeks of despair. End of last year, missing the finals was hard, but this has been tough going for Eagles supporters, the staff, the players, etc. But this is the time you want to be part of it, isn't it? If you're a supporter, because you get 2018, you get 2006, you get those beautiful moments, but in between, most clubs have some pretty tough times, and that's what the Eagles are going through now. A lot say they're fair-weathered supporters. I'm not sure that's the case, but I do know that they demand success, and so that's why there is pressure on Adam Simpson and Trevor Nisbet to get the club back up and running ASAP.
We will take your calls and anything else that you would like to talk about. 1-3-3-8-82. We've got that wonderful Whopper to give away tonight, Skeet, thanks to Hungry Jack's. The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. We'll talk to you soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. ToolkitDepot.com.au.
Now, if you haven't heard the news headlines, thanks to Polaris, they have shiploads of vehicles arriving every month. You visit your local Polaris dealer today. The West Coast Eagles have fined seven players who went out to the nightclub on the weekend, $5,000, $2,500 of that suspended. The AFL Round 8 rising star is Heath Chapman of the Fremantle Dockers, so congratulations to Heath. He's playing some wonderful footy down there. Josh Reddick signed with our Perth Heat at the end of last week. 1,305 major league games over 12 years. So it'll be great to see him in action. Hopefully we'll have a yak to him here on Sports Day. And the other news today, the Perth Glory will take on the Newcastle Jets on Thursday in Edgeworth on the East Coast for a place in the Australia Cup. The top eight sides in the A-League, as well as 22 clubs from a variety of levels around various locations in Australia, will be taking part in that. As we go to the calls, we've got a truckload of them. They want to join in to that hot topic. Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. As we head to Alex in Northlake first. G'day.
G'day, Carl and Skeeter. I'm totally with you, Carl. I think the thing's been blown totally out of proportion. And you look at it and you see the West Coast Eagles boys have been named and shamed, yet Richmond players haven't even been named. On top of that, the fine that's been levied is draconian. When you compare it to the amount of the fines that are levied by the MRO, you can hit someone in the head, stomp on them, or gouge their eyes, and you get a lesser fine than what these kids got. And finally, in terms of the fine, you got players that are on different contracts being fined the same amount. Why wouldn't they make it a percentage of their contract pay and make it fair?
Alex, thanks for your call. A couple of points there. Look, let me not play devil's advocate, but certainly put this in front of you. As Trevor Nisbet said, the ruling that the club has made came off the back of a direction for them not to go out under those circumstances and to an environment like that. The Richmond players, now I'm not sure this is the case, but it was, I think, Nathan Broad's engagement or Bucks party, should I say. So I'm assuming that the Richmond players had spoken to the coach, spoken to the club about going out for a couple of drinks. Now, that's only what I'm guessing. Therefore, that was given the tick. When it comes to the fines, Carl, that is an interesting question. If a player, and let's be honest, all those players mentioned wouldn't have been on the highest salary package that the West Coast Eagles have, but there would certainly be varying degrees of amount of difference between their wages. So that probably is an argument. Look, I think the Eagles had to make a statement of some sort, given they've already told them that they didn't want them out in those environments, then to just say, well, that's okay. We're not saying it's bigger than Ben-Hur. We're not saying they should be thrown under the bus and hung, drawn and quartered, but I think Trevor Nisbet almost obliged, because of the outside pressure, to try and make a statement to the members, to the club and to the playing group that this is probably not the way we want you to go about things, particularly with the squad and its troubles at the moment.
1-3-3-8-82-2 Tony and Sterling. G'day, Tony.
How you going, Carl? This Eagle debacle season, you know who should really get the sack? The list management. Because whoever's put this list together in the last 5 to 6 years, the Tim Kelly thing, they should never have drafted Brander. They should have drafted, in pick 13, they should have drafted Oscar Allen at that pick. And then they could have got Tim Kelly with the Oscar Allen pick. That pick would have been before Geelong's, and then they would have had him, Tim Kelly, at the pick that Oscar Allen went at. And these picks that they gave to Geelong, they would have had him. And
Tim Kelly pick you're talking about going back into 2016 when he got picked up by Geelong. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what pick was Oscar Allen at that year?
So Oscar went at 21. So Jared Brander went at pick 13. He was their first pick. Oscar went at 21. And then you had Liam Ryan went at pick 26. And Petrucelli was at 38. So
what pick did Geelong have?
Oh, look, off the top of my head, I don't know.
But hindsight is, Carl and Tony, hindsight is a wonderful attribute to have. And look, Tony, in footy list management, there are going to be mistakes made. And we've been pretty critical, this is the media, of what Fremantle has done from time to time in
their list management with drafting and trading, etc. But let's be honest, the last couple of years, they've had those picks to get quality players. They've done really well. Wow. So they deserve credit on that front. But again, West Coast, apart from last year, haven't finished outside the top eight. So they probably haven't had as good a look as many clubs have.
Look, at the end of the day, Ross Lyon, at the end of his tenure at Fremantle, cut deep. And so did the club. They cut deep. They actually got rid of a lot of players. And Justin Longmuir came in on the back of that. Now, it may well be the case with Adam Simpson. I don't know. I'm not saying that it should. But the point that I'm going to make is that West Coast need to do the same thing. They need to turn the wheel. There's a lot of those guys that have been at the top of the mountain, and they're cooked. Luke Shuey keeps on breaking down. Elliot Yeo keeps on breaking down. Nick Natanui's now done another knee. It's his third knee injury. I mean, he's not getting any younger. You've got Kennedy and Hearn, who they wanted to rest, but they can't because they're caught in that scenario where they just can't rest these experienced, seasoned, brilliant, long-term champions of the footy club. So it's a really difficult scenario to be in because you don't like to farewell blokes like that. But hey, we've been there, some of us, and done that. And some of us succumb to injury early, like I did, and then others are able to play long careers and live out and make the decision on their own terms. But West Coast are at that point now where they have to turn the wheel. They did last year. They picked up Chesser at 14, Hoff at 31, Rhett Bazo at 37. They were the earliest picks they'd had since essentially 2018, where they picked Xavier O'Neill with pick 28. Now, Xavier O'Neill probably would be questionable as to whether they can or will persist with him, but they've given him a few chances this year, and we'll see what happens on the other side. Got to clear a commitment. Come back, Shane, Sean, Craig, and others. 133-882 is the number.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day, 11 before 7. Mark Reddings and Carl Langdon with you until 8 o'clock tonight. 133-882 as we go back to the phone. Shane is in Brookton. Hi, Shane.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I just needed to ring. I've had a gutful of listening to the whinging, whining West Coast supporters who have been sport for 35 years. They've won four flags and they expect to be playing finals footy every year. And then from the ring up and start bitching and moaning about having to finish last a couple of times or having some tough times. They haven't had really any tough times apart from when you were playing early on, Barry, when they really struggled a bit. But, mate, I tell you what, I never know so many bloody supporters jump on and jump off and whinge and complain about guys not putting their heart and soul into it. They've got so many injury lists. The issue list is so bloody big. And everybody's happy to just keep throwing stones at them. Don't get me wrong. I don't follow them. I never have done. But they are the most fickle jump on, jump off supporters you would ever find in the AFL. There is some pretty struggling clubs too that have ever won one grand final. They've won four in 35. And we're just happy that they're happy to just keep throwing stones. They want success. Everybody wants to have success, but you've got to have down times as well. I reckon if West Coast had 3 or 4 years of really struggling, I reckon they'll lose 10,000 members a year, and they might get a true base of true supporters that would go to Optus every week to go and watch them. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Appreciate your call. Look, if you go back through the history of the West Coast Eagles, their supporters haven't had to deal with a long period of being down, because you go back to 1989 under John Todd, they had some tough times. 1990, Mick Malthouse arrives and they play finals immediately. 2010, for instance, the Wooden Spoon, the next year, they're back playing in a prelim final from memory, certainly deep into September. So the history is a quick bounce back factor with them. So whether that happens again next year remains to be seen. Just ahead of our sports update, thanks to Century 21. Selling or renting, century21.com.au. Just a couple of quick scores in the NBA. The finals, of course, continuing today. Pretty popular as well for a lot of people who follow their sport. The Dallas Mavericks 111, defeating the Suns 101. That series tied at 2 apiece. So too, it's the East semi-finals tied at 2 wins apiece. The Heat and the 76ers today. It was the 76ers 116 over 108. Let's go to Sean in Baldivis. Hi, Sean. Not there. Craig in Kinross. Hi, Craig.
Hey, guys. How are we?
We're good.
Uh, First of all, Luka Doncic, awesome.
Mm.
Dallas Mavericks, just a superstar. And I'll chuck in Luka Modric for Real Madrid as well. Yeah. But, Carl, my yes. comment is, in 1988, I was a Lions Pride player with Trevor Nisbet when he had hair. you know, he's an awesome fella, and the Eagles are going through crap at the moment. So what? People that are supporters will continue. People that aren't supporters won't. And being a guy a couple times ago said that, oh, we're whingers and everything. No, we expect the best. And when we're not doing the best, that's fine. We will rise. And the Eagles will rise again and again. And Carl knows how good Nizzy is.
Yep, thanks for your call.
I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, well, Trev came to the football club when Mick Malthouse arrived back in 1990, and he was the football manager at that particular time. And he's experienced many a time where people have done the wrong thing, gone out to nightclubs and got themselves into trouble. I've been one of those people. I've been there, done that. So they say people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. You've also got the scenario where Trev and the club has had to go through its fair share of turmoil. And we would probably suggest that the period of time that they went through in the early to mid 2000s is far worse than a few of the boys that have gone out on the weekend. So, and they've been able to navigate through that period of time, come out the other side, get to another grand final in 2015, win a premiership in 2018. And obviously things have not panned out well since COVID. There's no doubt about that. I think that, you know, 19, if you reflect on that particular season in itself, where they, after winning the grand final, went for Tim Kelly to try and keep the window open, COVID has played at Park Skeet, so it's certainly been interesting.
Has indeed. Cannot disagree with any of those sentiments.
All right, so we are not far away from getting across to the 882 6PR news. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now, if you want to join in, you can. Straight after the 7 o'clock news, 133-882 is the number. Now, hot topic tonight, of course, for the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. Heath Chapman's the AFL Round 8 rising star. We've also got the news that Austin Bautista won the Northern Territory PGA, a record 7-shot victory, and he shot a record 61 10 under on the Friday there at the Palmerston Country Club in the Northern Territory, and the Force were crushed on the weekend. You might want to talk about that clash against the Crusaders. We need to get to the news. That's coming up next, and we'll be back.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company, 133-882. Thanks to Century 21. Don't sell with any ordinary real estate. Sell with century21.com.au. Paul Gallen is going to join us tomorrow night. He's going to be fighting a bloke by the name of Chris Terzievsky. And there is also a couple of other very talented young Australians by the name of Harry Garside and Nikita Zhu, who are going to feature on that card. Skeet, I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. You love your boxing. And Paul Gallen, good thing about Gal is that we can chat about boxing, but also about NRL with him as well. He's one of the greats. And, of course, State of Origin Rugby League coming back to our state in the not-too-distant future. I'll tell you what also caught my eye in brief. The decision by Liz Cambage to come out and really basically slag off Basketball Australia by saying they gave her no support, she won't play for the Opals again. Well, I can tell you the feelings are mutual, and I
you know, we take sides in these types of arguments, and I'm very much behind the likes of former Opals captain Jenna O'Hay, along with Andrew Bogut and even Andrew Gaze, because what was said by Liz prior to the Olympics last year in a practice match against the Nigerian team allegedly was a bit of sledging involved and saying, go back to your third world country. Well, there has been a fair bit of angst between Cambage and the Australian basketball team and Basketball Australia since that time, and she's declared she doesn't want a bar of Australia. Well, I can say good riddance if she's that way inclined. Very good player, outstanding player, but if that's where she sits, I think Australian basketball is better without her. Lauren Jackson, by the way, making a comeback of sorts, so maybe she'll come back and fill the breach. But World Cup coming up later this year, but Liz Cambage, I think she's done, dusted, and a far more harmonious team there will be for Australia moving forward.
Just improve the attitude, Liz, would be my comment. Mm. Let's go to Bob in Frio. G'day, Bob.
Oh, hey, guys. Love the show, especially on a Monday when things go to plan. Mark, I'm not an educated man, but so I had to look up in the dictionary the word sycophant, and there was a photo of Carl there, which I couldn't believe. Carl, that interview with Nisbet, what was going on there? Are you still on the payroll?
What do you mean?
Let's start.
Yeah, well, you go. Well, you go. You go. You go, Bob. It's your opinion. Go for it.
I'll start about the tickets for the game against Monday. Fine trying to sell the game, but at least Nisbet was honest by saying there's thousands of tickets left, tens of thousands of tickets. You seem to think they're a little bit like hen's teeth. Secondly, you're saying it's against the club guidelines as far as, like, they did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. Nothing to see here.
Well, that's my opinion. That's my opinion, Bob. They did nothing wrong. And if I was actually in the position of power, I wouldn't have fined them either, Bob. So that's my opinion. I'm allowed to have an opinion.
And let's go to your article on the weekend about, I think it was Carl's roast. The Eagles shouldn't be playing with so many outs. They had four COVID outs on the weekend. The Dockers had six. What about talking about the injuries at the new ground?
Oh, so you're making it a Freo West Coast thing, are you, Bob?
No,
have you got your purple goggles on or something?
I'm making it a Sunday Times thing.
Well, the thing is that, mate, I get one paragraph. I could have gone on about Fremantle too, but in the end, I agree with you that it's not necessarily fair what our two clubs are going through right now compared to everybody else. I mean, other clubs have lost one or two, Bob, but to actually have a core group like West Coast have had a couple of times, and let's face it, there was more than just four Eagles on the weekend. There was a couple of others that were affected that were outside, including the coach. But overall, it's, I don't think, ever been a level playing field right from the start of the season, to be perfectly honest, when a number of the other clubs have already gone through what our clubs are going through now months ago, Bob.
So, Carl, if you were in charge of the Eagles and also the Dockers, why wouldn't you, if you're a professional organisation and you knew that was, like, we all knew it was going to happen 3 months ago, 4 months ago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. What, 3 or 4 months ago?
COVID would hit.
So when everybody in Melbourne and Sydney was getting COVID, like basically every player, like most players in Melbourne and Sydney were going through some sort of COVID thing and they opened up the borders, you either take the players over there or you open up here or you do it. Like I think what Fremantle's done, they've taken the Mark McGowan approach by saying complete lockdown, putting players in a sort of, you know, different areas, etc. So they have six per week. It's managed. So that's the problem with the thing. But the only thing I do agree with you, Carl, is that the fact that this hippie club, and well done to the hippie club, this is worth a huge amount of money for them. It's a storm in a teacup, and the Eagles are quite happy to keep on going on and about it's a big deal. It's nothing. Guys went to a nightclub and did nothing, and this is the biggest news, as opposed to the Eagles losing by 100 points for the last 3 weeks, and they've got their list is shattered.
Mm. In fact, it's been the worst month defensively, I think, in the history of the club in terms of what they've conceded. So the scorelines haven't been great. And look, it's interesting, is it? Carl says no fines whatsoever. I'm not sure if you're Trevor Nisbet, given that you've given them the the directions and the guidelines, and then they go outside those guidelines, what do you do? Do you just say,
they
okay,
given guidelines.
Well,
they
no, Trevor said, no, Trevor said in our interview, he
right,
said,
righto.
Yeah, he
okay.
said,
so stay away from crowded places. Like, seriously, like go to Woolworths.
No, but what okay, I'm asking,
go to a shopping centre, walk through a shopping
centre. But what,
centre,
if you were like, Trevor Nisbet, what would you have done in this situation? I'm just asking you, Carl.
I personally wouldn't have done anything. I think in the end, the pressure from all of the palaver that's come from external, from people who've got probably zero idea of what is actually being managed and what is being said and what is being done, they've essentially been forced into this scenario, is my humble opinion. And for me, I would have tried to be a little bit more proactive and resilient and fight against it. But what that does is it backs you further into a corner. And let's face it, they are in a fairly dark corner right now.
No, I don't disagree with you. And look, it's a valid argument, totally valid argument. But I just know that there was, if there was that type of instruction not to go out to pubs and nightclubs, then they've done that. Then I think Trevor Nisbet was backed into a corner himself. But tell you what, I thought Bob started off really attacking you, Carl, and then just eased his way back, and the two of you now on pretty good terms, which is nice to see.
Well, I don't care if we're not. Like, at the end of the day, he's entitled to his opinion. If I'm a sycophant, that's fine. I don't think I am, and I disagree with what the club's done. We've clear a commitment, come back with more. Thanks to the Pharmacy Sleep Services. Test yourself for sleep apnea. We're going to have a chat to Dustin Fletcher, who is a bloke that's up in our northwest. We'll have a chat to him next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. And we're here thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks. For 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion, and a bloke who is up in the northwest of Western Australia is Dustin Fletcher. He is, of course, an Essendon legend, a man who played 400-plus games. It's great to have him on the radio. Dusty, how you going, mate? Nice to chat.
Going well. Nice and warm up here, but going really well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Nice to have you in town on the back of a weekend where the Bombers got a win. It's been a little bit dry, mate, and Mick Mulhouse tipped the Bombers to win the flag at the start of the year.
Yeah, I think I got a bit excited about tipping us to the flag, but it was good. Yeah, good to see the boys, you know, with a few out with illness, five or six changes to come in and play like they did with a bit of freedom and attack the footy, and we get our second win for the year.
And you beat Hawthorn, a club that, let's be honest, you're not overly fond of as a group. And a bloke called Peter Wright, 6 goals, arguably his best ever game at AFL level. That's a breakthrough performance by him.
Yeah, he's been playing well, to be honest. He's, you know, he's in a side that's not going well. He gets the best defender every week and he kicks 6. You know, 4 the week before, even 3 4s. He's just hitting the ball at its highest point, and he's been a great player for us this year.
Dustin, when it comes to the 2022 season, it looks like Melbourne clearly is the best team in it. Have you seen any other side that you think might be able to challenge the Demons, albeit we're just through 8 rounds?
Oh, I think, yeah, you're right. I think Melbourne are the team to beat. The ones I think I'd have to say Fremantle. You know, if they get things, you know, keep going in the right direction, they're a good chance. And the other one is Brisbane. I think they're another one too, if they might get over a few sides come towards the end of the year.
Now, when it comes to your involvement over here in Western Australia, I believe that you are going to be heading around to a number of our magnificent northwest regional towns, a couple of them located right on the coastline too. You'll be going to Wickham. I don't know if you've been there before. Thursday night you'll be in Dampier. It's the Dampier, the Mermaid Hotel there in Dampier, and on Friday night in Panawanica. Looking forward to that. But who are you up in our northwest with? I hear that you're with a very prominent lady by the name of maybe Hayley Miller, someone like that, I reckon.
I certainly am, the captain of Fremantle. I've just met her today, and we look forward to a fair bit of footy going on up here. So we look forward to running some clinics and also a couple of sportsmen's nights. So it's looking forward to the next 4 or 5 days.
Now, when you get out and about like this, Fletch, what do you actually say, hear from the punters on the ground? You know, those regional folk that you're going to be rubbing shoulders with. And I'm sure that you've had plenty of experiences outside of Western Australia. What do people talk about or ask you about? Or do they complain about the way the game's played compared to back in your day or anything like that?
Yeah, you get a bit of that. There's no doubt about it. People love the game from the 90s and you know, even 2000s, really. You get a lot of that, but I don't know, for me, it's just they just want to get out there and kick torpedoes, but that's what they want, and I'm getting a bit older now, so I probably can't kick them as far as I like, but that's what they seem to want.
What about the goal kicking and the way that's evolved, Fletch? You know, used to be real good at throwing a barrel out. There isn't that many players that actually choose to take that option, to be perfectly honest. But then you've got this scenario where guys are on a 45-degree angle and they're kicking these bananas around their bodies. And now we've got this stand rule that blokes are just coming in as you would normally for a set shot, and then they run off to the left or the right. And invariably, there are so many that are missing simple shots on goal.
Yeah, I think it's the one thing that hasn't improved, you know, in the last sort of 50, 60 years, the accuracy kicking for goal. And I only go back to Matthew Lloyd, and for me, it's, you know, it's practice. I know we've got all these people involved in footy clubs now, but, you know, Lloyd used to go out and kick 30 or 40 before training and kick 30 or 40 after, and he was one of the best I saw. So that's where I reckon that one's at.
Hey, Dustin, I'm sure you'll be asked over the next few days from the fans and footy supporters about the West Coast Eagles' plight. Bottom of the table, things not going well, a handful in trouble for going to a nightclub at the weekend. As good as it is, footy, when you're winning, times like this can be pretty tough, and I'm sure even from afar you can only imagine the type of pressure and what's on the shoulders of the West Coast Eagles at the moment.
Oh, no doubt. You know, they've had a few injuries, obviously, and COVID, and it's been a bit of a tough thing, but footy clubs, probably they're not good places when you're, you know, when you're playing like that. And there's been a few boys go out and a drink and get themselves in a bit of trouble. So it's going to be a tough couple of weeks. I hope they get a few players back to really straighten them up, because the year goes pretty quickly when you're not playing well and you're not winning games of footy.
Hey, Dustin, just going back to the Bombers, we started with that conversation. How much time do you spend at the club, and what sort of interaction do you have, if any, on a regular basis?
Yeah, so I'm mainly off-field, so I have a bit of a role off-field, which, you know, deal with a lot of sponsors and coterie groups, and I've just taken on just a bit of a backline position with the coaching the backline in the VFL. So Brent Stanton, a good mate of mine, rang me a couple of weeks before the season started and said, can you give me a hand? And once he rang, I said, I'll jump in. So I'm only there on a Wednesday night and game day. It's only a small role, but trying to get back to a little bit of the VFL players and the younger guys we've got at the club.
Dustin Fletcher, we're chatting to. If you've just joined us here on Sports Day, doing the rounds up there in the Northwest at the moment. And I just want to ask you about your two sons. Now, they're both in college, and correct me if I'm wrong here, in the USA, punters. How are they looking, mate? How are they going?
Yeah, they're going well. Mason, he's been over there 12 months and had a fantastic season, and they won their conference over there, which was great. So he was a true freshman last year, so comes into his second year. And our youngest has just scooted over, and he's at quite a big school in the SEC, the University of Arkansas, in a place called Fayetteville. So, yeah, just they're into it. They're loving it. They tell me they're studying, so that's probably one good thing. And they're kicking the footy round, so it's pretty. It's going to be a good 3 or 4 years for them.
Dustin, just quickly, there was some vision of your son, the mullet and flowing, and he made some headlines in the States. Can you just, for our listeners, talk us through what that was about when he was in action on the field?
Yeah, they had a big game. They ended up finishing number four in the country, so they had a big game against Alabama, and I actually got over for that game at Dallas Stadium. It was a big one, but they ended up getting beaten. But so Mason actually punted 6 or 7 times and punted really well. And even after one of the punts, he threw in a Conor McGregor strut after one of them. So that was a little bit different. I'm not sure where he gets that from. Must be my wife. But that was amazing. It got a bit of time on the sports shows over there. But he's going well, kicking well, and as I said, hopefully doing some study.
Nice to chat, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Dustin Fletcher here on Sports Day. And if you're in that neck of the woods, make sure that you head into Wickham on Wednesday night, Thursday night at Dampier, Friday night at Panawanica, and the Mermaid Hotel there in, of course, Dampier is where you can go along and see Hayley Miller and Dustin Fletcher. Basically, not only coaching, but having a chat.
Absolutely. And part of Mouse Promotions up there and just wandering through the regions. What a popular, very understated player and man, Dustin Fletcher, but what a superstar of the sport he was.
Skeet, your Kia top seven out of the weekend for the all-electric Kia EV6, the wheels car of the year. What is it?
Yes, let's roll straight into it. 34 disposals. Friday night, we saw him live, Andy Brayshaw. He's in, if not Brownlow medal-winning form, in contention for that and the All-Australian. He's at number seven. At number six, Tyson Stengel. Really impressed with him. He's had some off-field issues in the past, primarily at the Adelaide Crows, but 20 disposals, three goals for him. Geelong getting back to the type of football that we know they can play, very much a marking performance against the Giants. What about Charlie Curnow? Six goals, three for the Blues as they storm to a huge victory over the Adelaide Crows. And he is in pretty good nick at the moment. So too, Peter Wright at number four. I've got down six goals and I would say his best ever game in the AFL, primarily because the Bombers came from about four goals down during the third quarter to get up and win quite comfortably. So he's at number four. At number three, Hugh McCluggage, a class player, four goals against the Eagles, outstanding effort. And if he continues in that vein of form, then Brisbane will push deep into September. Clayton Oliver goes without saying, one of the guns of the competition. 38 disposals, probably another three Brownlow votes next to his name. Again, one of the stars in the midfield of the competition. And probably wasn't the best performance of the weekend, Carl, but at number one, I've put Dusty Martin. He's come back to footy, 15 touches, two goals. And while he is out there for Richmond, they are in the conversation for top eight, top four, even knocking off one of those elite sides in the competition. So Dusty Martin, great to have the superstar back, premiership winning, Brownlow medal, Norm Smith winning star back in AFL action.
That's our Kia Top 7, introducing the Kia EV6, unanimously judged the wheels car of the year. It's leading the charge. We'll clear a commitment, come back and get into our WAFL review. Adam Pickering will join us. Victorious, the Swan District Football Club on the weekend. He'll have a chat to us next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Let's get into our WAFL review for the all-electric Kia EV6, the wheels car of the year. And tell you what, it's a very exciting WAFL competition. What a wonderful round it was on the weekend. The biggest margin was 9 points. That was Swan Districts against Claremont at Steel Blue Oval. And the coach of the Swan Districts team in Adam Pickering joins us here on Sports Day. Pickers, welcome. Nice to chat. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Biggest margin, was it? Jeez, yeah, away.
Good.
9 points.
Yeah, good win on the weekend, though. You must be pretty pleased with the way that things panned out, given the Tigers have been in pretty good form.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was a really good win, really good team effort across the board. We hadn't beaten them for 5 years, and we'd come close a couple of times. It sort of just dropped away 15, 20 minutes each time, which cost us the game. But on the weekend, it sort of worked out. It was a really good win against a pretty good opposition.
Yeah, they won the previous 9 matches against you, so they had the wood on you. Look, as the coach this year, you have never had a comfortable moment in the coach's box. Every match has been decided within 2 goals, Adam.
Yeah, it's been reasonably stressful, actually. My wife said to me on Saturday, "Why do you keep doing it? You must just be so stressed week in, week out." But I think that's a reflection of the competition, not just us. It feels like this year that anyone can beat anyone on any given day. You've just got to be right on top of your game or you're going to get found out.
Going back to Saturday, and look, it was a really good last quarter, 3-2. They had more possessions than you, but 50 inside 50s apiece. So perhaps a little more efficient going forward when it counted, particularly with Chris Jones kicking 5 goals for you.
Yeah, they had a lot more of the ball than us, Skate. It was, some of their players really filled their boots possession-wise on the weekend. We tried to sort of change a little bit this week, I guess. We felt like we hadn't been direct enough and hadn't been putting the opposition under pressure to score. So we did have a little bit more of a forward mindset, moving the ball forward quicker when we could. We felt like with Jonesy down there, it sort of releases a Tom Edwards or a Braden Noble or a Jesse Palmer as well. They don't get the big, strong key defender. He takes that, so we might find a mismatch down there. So, yeah, we did err on the side of when we got the footy, move it in a little bit quicker, and hopefully we can put their defence under pressure. And it seemed to work most of the time on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, your midfield, you look at the numbers, as you said, Claremont, Jai Bolton, I think 51 touches, and Ryan Lim, 30-plus. Was that of a concern to you, or did you believe that they weren't hurting you to sufficiently to want to put some more time into them?
It was a concern. Anyone who's ticking over at 50 for a game and 44, I think it's Ben Edwards' video, 44. Yep. Ryan Link, 38. I think Lockie Martinez, 34, off half-back. So it is. You look at that and you do get a little bit concerned. But we felt, I guess my mindset on the day was, if we take away we try and take away their best in sort of dry, what sort of message does that send to our boys when we're trying to create a bit of belief so that we can get over these good teams and we are good enough? So our midfield coach, Andrew Pruin, threw it up. Do we send one to Jai? I had a discussion and I just decided, no, let's sort of back our boys in and have a positive mindset that they're not really hurting us on the scoreboard and we might be able to hurt them the other way if we do get our chances.
Tony Knott. Noticed he had 26 disposals, 11 marks. How's he been, you know, holding up down there in defence for you?
He's been terrific. I think 9 of those 11 were intercept as well on the weekend. Mm. It's quite remarkable, a guy his age and experience, and he's living in Busselton, so he's training with the Busselton Magpies twice a week. He comes up either Thursday night or Friday night for the game. Really remarkable how he's performing. He had 14 marks in round one as well. So, yeah, I hope he never retires. He's so important for us. And the other thing is, when we get in those tight games and tight tussles, he's such a calming influence on a few of our young guys. You know, we've got Elijah Hewitt, who's basically could still play Colts, and a heap of guys that are under 10 games. So having a guy like that out there when we get in those really tight situations, he just sort of just calms the group down and lets them know that everything's going to be okay and stick to the plan.
Oh, let's get at you after this question about the state game, which is coming up this weekend, because we've got a bye in the Waffle, of course. So, well, we don't, do we? We've got East Fremantle taking on West Coast because that got postponed. But West Perth and Claremont are a game ahead of you. You're in sixth place on the table, and right now every team, South Fremantle, East Perth, Peel, East Fremantle and Perth, all sitting with two wins. And Subiaco's your next opponent, who have had a slow start but got their first win on the board. It's, as you said off the top, it's incredibly close. And I suppose, mate, that might be the way it's going to be for a little while.
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like every week there's no lay down there at all. It's going to be tough. And Subi, although they started 0-3 and fell over the line, I guess, on the weekend, they're starting to build. They'll get some of their senior players like Harry Marsh back. Michael Broughts been injured, so he'll be back soon. So I really think they'll start to build on their season as well. So we got to just front up every week and have the same attitude we did on the weekend and try and bank 4 points and just move on to the next one.
Speaking to Swan District's coach, Adam Pickering, state game, we just touched on it, but a couple of notable inclusions and exclusions because of injury. Tyrone Thorne and Ben Hancock from Peel are out injured, and in comes Angus Schumacher and Ryan Lim. What's your role, Pickers, in this state team setup, which will be coached by, of course, Cam Shepherd?
I'm the back line coach. They give the dumb blokes the back line because it's pretty simple. Stick on someone and defend. So I'll look after the backs. Bo Wardman looks after the mids, and Gary Moss will be looking after the forwards. So, yeah, we'll go through selection tonight, I think.
So it's shaping up pretty well. Wednesday, main run, and then Friday, of course, light session, jumper presentation, into it on Sunday. The preparation seems a bit skinny, but I'm sure it's the similar situation for South Australia.
Yeah, it has. It's probably been a little bit more organised this year than it has over the last couple, I think. Cam's been terrific. His whole mindset from the word go has been, we're here to win. It's not an exhibition game or a glorified recruiting game, if you like. We're going to pick our best team. We're going to pick the players in positions that they play and not try and mix and match with 20 of the best, I guess. And the whole attitude will be to win the game, not just front up and have a kick and a catch and a beer afterwards. So he's been really good. It's been a pretty good preparation, actually. And the pleasing thing is that especially the senior players, they've really bought into that and they're really excited to have that mindset going into the state game this year.
Thanks very much for your time, Pickers. We know you've got a meeting pending and we'll have a chat to you again down the track.
No worries. Thanks, gents. All the best.
Good on you. Adam Pickering there, the Swan District's coach, and introducing the Kia EV6, unanimously judged the Wheels Car of the Year. It's leading the charge. WAFL competition looking great. Skedderman, Subiaco get up over East Perth by 1 point. Perth that we wrote off at our peril. They get up and they beat Peel Thunder by 1 point. And, of course, the big game up there at Pentanet Stadium was West Perth and South Fremantle. Predicted it to be close. And in the end, West Perth got the chocolates at home by 8 over the South Fremantle Bulldogs.
Yeah, West Perth on top of the table in the WAFL. Interesting you talk about that Subiaco victory by a point. Just speaking to someone today, I wasn't at that game, but there was some controversy over when the siren went and the timekeepers have come into question. I know a couple of the East Perth coaching staff and maybe a couple of players as well had been given information there was a minute left, and that minute seemed to go for quite a long while. But of course, as we know, Carl, the timekeepers is generally one from each club. They're both volunteers, so I'm not sure how there could have been a discrepancy, but I can tell you there's a field of frustration from some at East Perth at the way that game ended and the time that was allocated before the final siren.
Okay, well, Sokol kicked 5-3, took 14 marks, 21 disposals, and Brandon Matera, 4 goals 2 as well from his 14 kicks and a handball. And Kiewicz, I think, is he in the state squad, that big fella? He got 4 as well, and Robertson kicked 3. So there was a fair bit scored by the key forwards of both teams, really.
Absolutely, and going onto that state squad, it's fascinating to see how the team will play. Of course, Jai Bolton left out, 51 high. Career high for him, 51 disposals on Saturday. Look, it's a big call by Cam Shepherd. He's decided to go in a different direction. Let's hope for Western Australia's point of view that it's a good result. Look, as Angus Shoemaker, as I said, into that side, so too Ryan Lim. So they've got some quality coming into the lineup. Hopefully, after being beaten by 53 points last year by SA in Adelaide, they can reverse that result or certainly get a victory. Of course, it's a prelude to the big game between the Eagles and Melbourne, which starts at 3:20, and bounce down for the Waffle versus the SANFL is at midday at Optus Stadium.
All right, that's our review of footy. Thanks to the wonderful team at Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks. For 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion. We'll clear a commitment, come back and have a chat to Dan Ryan from our West Coast Fever, victorious over the Magpies on the weekend, 74-69. Dan Ryan to join us next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Let's get into our West Coast Fever update. Dan Ryan is back joining us here on the program. Welcome, Dan. Nice to chat. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nice win over the weekend. Taking on the Magpies. Getting home by 5. 74-69. It's a tight one.
Yeah, really tight one. One of the closest games of the season, and an unbelievable test for us under pressure, which is, you know, a really invaluable experience now moving into the business end of the competition. So nothing separated either of the sides for the majority of the game, 4 goals being the biggest margin there at one point in time for either team. But our last 7 minutes in that last quarter was pretty exceptional, and love to see the girls lean into the contest and step up under pressure. So learnt a lot about my group in handling that occasion. So an invaluable experience, to be honest.
Yeah, Sasha Glasgow and, of course, Janelle Fowler, terrific. The latter, 61 goals from 63 attempts. But the last couple of minutes, saw some vision last night. It was frenetic. You were getting animated, and it's well, you don't want to get victories in those manners because the heart doesn't respond all that well. But as you say, it was frenetic that last 2 or 3 minutes. How are you tracking on the sidelines?
You know, it was really interesting. I thought we certainly weren't at our best for the first 45 minutes of the game, and I felt like we were kind of simmering below the surface a little bit. And although we were playing at that level, I didn't feel like we were too out of reach or that we weren't going to get there in the end. And I think it really took for us to be down and uncomfortable and under pressure for that spark to be lit within the group to have to really find something. So certainly something we need to address to make sure that we're a little bit more assertive in being up in control of a game earlier. But you know, it's a skill in itself, be able to find that extra level and find that extra gear when you really needed it. And that was what I really enjoyed watching in the players, is the game was there to be won or lost, and we made the choice to go for the win and attack it. And, you know, the last 5 minutes or so, some of the players produced their best netball of the day. And, you know, someone like Sasha Glasgow, that had a really quiet first three quarters and then sat off the first 10 minutes of the last quarter, to come out and sink some really pressurised super shots in the last 5 minutes to change the game in our favour, says a lot about the character of the individuals within the group. So, yeah, very valuable for us for sure.
Now, what about Alex Teague-Neil from wing attack? 35 goal assists from 48 feeds. Now, that must have rated fairly highly from a coaching perspective, surely.
She's probably been one of the most impressive players across the course of the season, to be honest, in terms of how well she's playing her role for the team, how well she's embracing it. It's obviously her first season playing wing attack. She's traditionally a goal attack, and we've shifted her over there this year to play that reliable wing attack role for us. And, you know, she's put back-to-back 2 weeks of games, you know, post-COVID for her really nicely in place. And I think what was most impressive about her game on the weekend, she was up against Ash Brazel, the Australian Diamonds wing defence, and she really nullified her. I think she had the wood over her for the majority of the game, kept her very quiet. And probably, you know, what I love seeing in Alice is just the maturity and poise under pressure to really lead that front end and service Janiel really well, with some really great feeds coming in throughout the game. So, yeah, a huge leap forward in the context of Alice's development across wing attack. And, yeah, very pleased to see her step up against some top-quality opposition.
How significant would it be for you to claim the minor premiership? Tight battle with the Vixens, of course, but what does that mean moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's really critical in terms of home semi-finals, and all of those elements around travel, I think, have been really fascinating for me. Obviously, travelling from the West Coast for the first time working with the team, and in our first half of the season, we've had 5 away matches out of our 7 games, and the accumulated fatigue is obviously a real thing, and it does linger a lot longer than travelling up and down the East Coast. So anything that we can do within our control to not have to travel, I think, is something that we should be really aspirational for, and certainly bold in wanting to make sure we're protecting ourselves in that space. So we've got a really clear target into what we want to achieve in this second half of the season, and certainly playing more games at RAC Arena and less travel is high on the priority, and we know that that sits within us. So we know what's ahead of us and what we need to do to get there, because a home semi-final would be critically important, I think, in the context of our, you know, huge hopes for the season.
And you seem like you've settled in really comfortably to the head coaching role, Dan. Big shoes to fill with Stacey, but you feel like, and we spoke, of course, to Sue Gordian last week in your absence, about what you bring to the table, and it's something different and something that has added a bit of spice to the team and the way they go about it. So do you feel like you belong in this role now and feel comfortable about where you're heading?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reality of head coaching is that it's always got to be right time, right place. And the coach has to be the right fit for the team where the team is at to get the most amount of impact or growth or add value. And I was really fortunate coming into this role that the foundation and the group was, everything was in a really good place. And I know that I felt that it was the right fit for me and what I bring and what my best attributes are and what some of my philosophies around not just the game itself, but coaching and leadership could be really impactful with this group. And I've always had confidence in that from the very first day I stepped into the job and started communicating with the athletes. And, you know, there's a great connection, I think, between all of us, between staff and players. And, you know, I certainly feel like I'm the right person to be leading the team right now with where they are. And, you know, to be totally honest, guys, I'm loving every day on the job, and my passion is absolutely authentic. I love every single aspect of the job, even when you're under the pump and under pressure. So I've got great belief in this group and what we can achieve. So the journey is fun, and absolutely loving life as the head coach here. It's a great privilege.
Do you feel any pressure when you're in the RAC Arena with about 5,000 sets of eyes just looking at what's going on, particularly when it's a significant event like Mother's Day and so many ladies there?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one, though. I think pressure's a really interesting one in terms of how you view it and what your relationship with it is. And I think for me, what I love in the high-performance environment, when you really believe in your group and you know that the talent and ability is there and anything can happen on the day, but you know that you're good enough, I love that challenge of playing under pressure and performing, knowing that you've got what it takes to get across the line. I get a great kick out of that. And Honestly, the RAC arena venue is it's the best in the country. The crowd are unbelievable, and you're quite oblivious to the people in the stands, but you just really feel the energy and the noise. But it's it's one of those things. It's you got to choose to love pressure, because if you want to get to where you want to get to in high performance sport, pressure's all part of it. So unless you embrace it and love it, you're not going to thrive in it. So no choice but to love working and dealing under pressure, and that's life in high performance, isn't it? So you've got no choice, really.
Absolutely. Now, back on the 27th of March, which was round one, you thumped the Lightning at RAC Arena, in your sport anyway, 19 goals, 82 to 63. You take them on their home court this time on Saturday. Obviously, you'd be liking to continue that winning run, which will stretch to three if you can get the job done on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they're tough to play at home, and irrespective of their ladder position, they're a quality side with some really talented players across the court. And, you know, they've beaten the Melbourne Vixens, who sit second, who have knocked us off. So we know we can't take them lightly, and it's really important that we keep working on those parts of our game that we want to get better at. And, you know, we can't be affording to drop the ball at this point in the season. So we need to be better again than what we were on Sunday, and find an extra gear against Lightning, because, yeah, any team in this competition, as we know, can knock each other off on their day, and we want to make sure we keep charging forward and maximise our ladder position at the moment.
Thanks, Dan. Great to chat.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Dan Ryan, the coach of our West Coast Fever, and he's doing a wonderful job thanks to the wonderful team at Barra and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything, Skeet, as we get into on this day.
Yes, going back to 1984, the world's longest baseball match finally ended after, wait for this, 8 hours and 6 minutes, when the Chicago White Sox eventually got past the Milwaukee Brewers 7-6. Well, they say in America that you can play 5 days of test cricket and still not get a result. Well, this is quite long. 8 hours, 6 minutes, 7-6 the result. One of the most famous and longest baseball matches in history. That, of course, is on this day for Bowra and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything.
Beautiful work, Skeet. Now we'll clear a commitment on the other side. Come back and wrap up with a sports update next, and tell you what's coming up after the 8 o'clock news.